from the island of Kauai, soul to soul, spirit to spirit, we send you greetings of love. First, we want to thank you for the very encouraging letters that so many of you have sent us, expressing your feelings about the first talk of this series, titled Let Infinity Work for You. And from the conversations we have had with some of you, we know that this is something that is now taking root, and for that we are most grateful. I hope now, too, that you have studied the second chapter of Joel's book, Living Between Two Worlds. And if some of you do not have the book yet, or do not know where to get it, you can write to two places that I know of. One Books, Box 2858, Bradenton, Florida, Bradenton, Florida, zip 33508. And you can also secure Living Between Two Worlds from the Book Garden, 1715-1715, San Pedro, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, zip 87110. If these stores cannot give you the book instantly, they will order it for you and get it to you the moment that it is available to them. But I have checked them out before, and you can be assured of their total cooperation. So here we are today, making the conscientious effort to let infinity work as us. We know by now that there are two worlds, the creation of God and the creation of man. The creation of man is his five-sense recreation of God's creation. We also know that the substance of God's creation is divine thought. And the substance of man's recreation is this world of human thought. It's important to know that everything you're looking at is your thought about God's thought. God isn't thinking the visible tree that you see, but you are looking at God's invisible tree, and your thought is the tree that you think you are seeing. You are looking at a world which seems to be external, but it is all composed of the thought of human beings. Because we all generally see the same things, we assume those things are external, but we are all attuned to one cosmic mind, and we are seeing what the cosmic mind places in our consciousness unless we are able to transcend human thought. And that is what this class is about today. When we live in human thought, we are called asleep, blind, the living dead, the creature who lives in darkness. And when we live in divine thought, we are called illuminated, anointed, the eternal Son of the eternal Father. It is important to know what makes the difference between being awake and being asleep. And that difference is so vital that until the world wakes up to it, most of us will continue living in a world separated from God, even while we think we are worshiping God. The difference between awake and asleep can be summed up in three words: contact with God. only with divine contact do we experience the creation of God and the perfect harmony of that creation. Only with divine contact are we ordained to live under grace, expressing the perfect life, will, and power of God in us. Without divine contact, we are a dying branch, cut off, without living water, unproductive, barren, incomplete. We are a house divided from our source, and our days are numbered. How do we become awake, fully alive? Today, we are invited to a spiritual baptism. We are invited to awaken from the mortal sleep that holds the entire human race imprisoned in the concept of a counterfeit lifespan, which begins with a birth and ends with a death. We cannot accept that. That is not the teaching of the infinite way. That is not the teaching of Christ Jesus. The teaching of Scripture is that the Savior of mankind is not a man. The Savior of mankind is contact with God. And whoever makes that contact and retains that contact will awaken above all human limitations in time, space, and matter. Liberated, just like Lazarus, from the tomb of a false temporary lifespan in dying flesh. But whoever continues in self-will will short-circuit all divine contact and will necessarily continue in the dream of an imperfect life that ultimately ends in death and reincarnation. Now, that is not our direction. Spirit says to us, brush aside the cobwebs of false humanhood. Open wide the communication system between God and man. And let the Father consciousness unfold to guide us into the real creation, the spiritual creation, the kingdom of heaven, right here on this earth. It is almost unbelievable, but after 3,500 years of biblical training, the human race still lives in the world of good and evil. It's as if the teaching about Adam and Eve has not taken root anywhere. Man still does not know that human thought, whether it's the thought of a PhD or a Rhodes Scholar or a summa cum laude student or a peasant, all human thought, now this is important, all human thought is automatic separation from God. because no human thought has divine substance. No human thought has real power. And man does not realize that he is still the natural man who receiveth not the things of God. He has not been taught that as long as he remains the natural man, he is separated from divine government, divine law, divine power, divine will, and all the divine treasures. Because of this ignorance, that human thought separates us from source, our world today is still governed by men who believe that God is the creator of life and death, of good and evil, of peace and war, of harmony and discord. This mortal consciousness is the breeding ground of the evils that it cannot cure. This mortal consciousness tells us that death is the price we must pay and expect to continue paying for exploration into space. This mortal consciousness places itself above the Word of God, which clearly states, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Man is still trying to build a house with his human mind. But his human mind is separated from God. And it is this human mind separation that is responsible not only for our successes but for our failures. Not only for our joys but our sorrows. Not only for our pleasures but our pains. This human mind is responsible for all suffering on the face of the earth. We are still so backward that for every 100 babies born in this modern world, in the United States, 11 babies die every year. 11 out of every 1,000. But we have seen that whenever a parent makes a genuine divine contact out of human thought into God contact, true God contact with substance, that the separation vanishes and infant mortality is eliminated. Now we can fool ourselves if we wish, but divine law cannot be mocked. Either we obey it and heaven opens up like a scroll, or we violate it, and with it we pay the price of our mortal life. Today, human beings still divide their lives between good and evil. Up and down the breadth of the world, this is the fact. Mostly because we refuse to accept and acknowledge the allness of God. We refuse to accept and acknowledge the presence of God without opposite. Because our five senses tell us, look at that and that and that and that. See those terrible things. And so we refuse to live on holy ground. Even while the Bible is saying that we are standing on holy ground now. We do not understand that our senses are lying. We do not understand that the creation of God is there, perfect, and being recreated into false images by our sense mind. So instead of acknowledging the perfect creation, most of us acknowledge the presence of evil, of error. Even while divine consciousness tells us to acknowledge God in all our ways. We go further than that. Some of us accuse God of withholding our good, withholding our health, our supply, our harmony, little realizing that we ourselves are withholding it from our life. Little realizing that the divine law of harmony, of supply, of peace, of fulfillment, of life without end, is part of our real being. You can't take it away. You can only obscure it with your mentality. But it's always part of our being. And the instant that we drift into dream hypnosis, just by being born, into immortal life, just by being born, in that instant, we lose God contact. We enter what is called the first death. We become the living dead. But Christ within, accepted, understood, as we look past the deception of the five senses, in that instant God contact can raise our dead consciousness from its sleep and reveal the miracle of ever-present, immortal perfection for everyone. It's time that all of us realize that we are spirit, and that God is spirit, and that we do not go to a spiritual God for material gifts. As spirit, we do not live by self-interest, self-preservation, self-profit. That is not our way. Spirit has taught us not to live by bread alone, but by every word. That proceedeth from the mouth of God. And to live by these words that proceedeth from the mouth of God, we must have contact with God. Yes, we want the truth that Christ gives us in the Bible, but we also want the truth that the living Christ within gives us today as well. We want to learn to abide in the living Christ within, and, most important, to obey with devotion the Holy Voice. Now ask yourself, if this is holy ground, what can be wrong here? The only thing that can be wrong is our belief that something is wrong. Or our belief in the absence of God, the absence of the power of God. The minute you let your senses tell you God is absent, or the power of God is absent, where are you? What is the correct procedure? There is something wrong here. In my vision, in my understanding, because discord cannot exist in the presence of God who is here, or in the presence of God who is there. And then what do? When you realize that the presence of God is here and there, And that the presence of God is I in the midst of me, and I in the midst of that fellow over there who seems to be doing all that evil. Now, we seem to be in the middle of a paradox, don't we? We say the discord can't exist, but here it seems to be, and it's threatening our lives. But do you see what we're doing? We are making the fatal error of putting sense perception above the Word of God, which says, I am the one, and beside me there is no other. That is the degree of our hypnosis. Now let's look for the truth that makes us free. There is a truth that shatters every paradox. A truth that separates wheat from tares. A truth that reveals the hidden perfection that has eluded even the most well-intentioned seekers of truth. Would it surprise you to learn that you have been given the power to walk on water and the power to touch the leper? That you have the power to step out of the tomb of an aging mortal body into newness of life without even interrupting your consciousness? Today we are ready to exercise that privilege. So marvel not at this, for the Master promised the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. And that promise is being kept because the graves that he referred to are human bodies. Men's concept of living within mortal bodies are the graves. And this same eye that made the promise that we shall step out of the graves also says, I am come. I am the way. This is the hour to step out of the false mortality that encircles the globe. To step out of graven images. To step out of dead concepts. And to step in to the real life which is eternal and is always under perfect divine law. Your infinite eye has come. Your infinite eye is the way. Now prepare for the real teacher who is come. Prepare for the infinite voice that promised to lift the human race out of the graves of mortality. And acknowledge it in a way you never have perhaps before. For it says to you, I, infinite I, am the only being on all the planets of the universe and all the galaxies. No matter what science discovers or where, I alone am there. And everything you see is your human concept of who I am. And I, this infinite I, this infinite spirit, I am everywhere and I am in the midst of you. I am everywhere and I am in the midst of all who walk the earth. And this day, I will take you above the mind. This day will I take you beyond the thoughts of man. Into the quickened spirit. Release your mortal self, that I may live as you. Guiding you, nourishing you, moving worlds apart for you. Feel my eternal spirit pushing aside your personal sense of life, your personal ego, your personal will. Feel the new rhythm. Feel the turning tide. Feel the acceleration. Feel the effortless power of your own spirit. Your own divine energy. Feel your infinite independence of the human world. Feel the one perfect power, which is your inheritance. And let that perfect power make all things new. Let divine thought flow. Let it transform your universe, your relationships, even your body. Come, my son, who are you? Are you a dying self in a tomb of mortal flesh? Did I create that? Are you under material law? Or are you the undying self that I am? Ever under perfect divine law, now and forever. Choose ye this day, God or Mammon. Mortal or immortal. Imperfect or perfect, matter or spirit, your decision will determine whether you step out of the grave or whether you wallow in a mortal sense of life that your God, your infinite I, did not create. This is a new beginning. The Father Consciousness has much to share with hearts that are devoted to the power of divine impartation. Do not make the mistake of striving for divine contact between a person and God. That traditional way of attaining contact is failing all around you. It will never work. God is no respecter of persons. The human mind has no capacity to know God aright. Persons and God are in a constant state of separation. The secret of divine contact is oneness, not two-ness. Two-ness is separation, oneness is contact. There is no person on this earth who can be taught by God. But the moment that individual accepts God as the infinite I am of his undying self, then God is the center of his being. And God the Father and God the Son are one. Separation is gone. There's no second self. You see that miracle? Then communication flows from God the Father to God the Son. Infinite divine will expresses. Harmony flows. Life is a perfect image of the Father's life. I think if we try it now, the feel of it will be very clear to you. Don't try to become anything. Start with, I already am. I already am the infinite I, which is the only I. There is no other. And why do I love my neighbor? Because the infinite eye is the eye of all who seemingly walk in flesh. That everywhere eye is who I am and who my neighbor is. That includes my neighbor across the ocean. And as you get the feel of the all-encompassing nature of your infinite eye, being the same infinite eye as the eye of all, you are awake, not asleep. And while you are awake to your infinite eye-ness, here are two important questions you can ask yourself. Which one are you? Are you the mortal? Sitting in a chair? Or are you the I am, which is everywhere? Make a decision. You got that? Make a second decision. Here's your second question. If you are the everywhere I am, who else is present on earth? Okay. Your answer must be no one. Only the infinite I that I am is present on earth. Therefore, because I am not the mortal sitting in a chair, and there is no mortal sitting in any chair anywhere throughout the world, how can a mortal be in contact with God if there are none? You see why so-called mortals live under the dominion of world beliefs? They have rejected their infinite I-ness. But the one undivided I am, where all mortals seem to be, that one invisible I am throughout the universe is your secret key. your secret identity to the power and love which only the infinite I Am can bestow. And that I Am will keep you awake forever. It will flow into your life as a river of infinite wisdom. It will produce hidden manna. It will make the word flesh. It will keep you out of a grave. Maintain this infinite I-ness in consciousness, and you will never have to resist evil or lift the sword. Because the so-called evil doer and you are the same one infinite I. And it requires that recognition to break the hypnosis of the dream. Evil can never be anywhere because I Am is there. And this is the first step in overcoming the false appearances of evil on this earth. That includes every error, every lack, every discord, and even the evil appearance of death itself. There can be no death where infinite I Am is the only presence. Death is the supreme illusion of the human senses. The minute you accept death, in that instant you deny infinite I Am everywhere. You divide the Father's garment. You divide yourself from the transforming power of divine thought. You cut off the flow with your own impure human thought. And there are other ways that we block this continuity of divine power. If you think that you're living inside your mortal form, you are separated. You are asleep. Moses realized, I am that I am, and that's all we heard about. But at the same time, he also realized that he was not mortal, that he did not live in a mortal body. That full realization must also come to you. By practice and by patience, it will. They say that Jesus touched the leper. I doubt it. They say that Jesus tamed the storm. I doubt it. They say that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and I doubt that. And the reason is because Jesus was never there. I can tell you this, if Jesus had been there, these miraculous events could not have happened. But they did happen, and they happened because I Am was there, not Jesus. Jesus was absent from the body. And Christ I Am was not only there where Jesus stood, but where the patient stood with the problem. One infinite I Am realized in the Christ consciousness was the miracle worker. That's why they say straight is the gate that leadeth unto life. But if we are determined to be among those who find life eternal, we must know that the power of God is already here as the infinite I. The further out you go when you swim, the more you realize that the waves are not as violent out there as they are close to the shore. And this work is somewhat a similar experience. The further we go into spiritual living with absolute truth, the more we discover spiritual muscles that strengthen us for new challenges. Those new challenges are now upon us. We must be ready for them. We must be like the great prophets. They had only one source of power, the infinite I, realized. They knew that God spoke through His I Am in them. Elijah, Joshua, whoever you name, whoever performed these supernatural events in the Bible, realized His I Am-ness, and through that I Am, God performed the mighty works. There are no powers on this earth that take dominion over infinite I. It can part the Red Sea, tame the tempest, feed the hungry, and bring peace to the heart of man. If you will try to remember this and let the infinite I of your being release you from your problem, you will be amazed at the results. The secret is divine thought. When divine thought enters your consciousness through divine contact, it then expresses, it becomes your thought, and it translates itself into action, power, forms, events, substance, and harmony. It is divine thought that is really the secret power of the universe. It is more powerful than any man-created force on earth. And because the availability of divine thought for you is always imminent, the moment you are on the receiving end of it consciously, then you no longer labor in vain. Your dreams no longer turn to ashes. Your life does no longer split into fragments, and your greatest achievements no longer return to dust. The errors of the world are a signal of the breach that separates man from divine thought. Farm failures, industrial breakdowns, paralyzing poverty, unemployment, these are all harsh reminders that human self is cut off from the source of infinite perfection. Unaware that the living Word of God is already in our midst, we are not letting it flow through us. But it says, I can never leave you. Or I can never forsake you. I am closer than hands and feet. And wherever you go, the Word of God will travel with you as your identity. For you are the Word of God. And the power of divine thought can activate your identity into the perfect image and likeness of God. Whoever lives by divine impartation is repenting. For repenting means the return to the divine thinker, the return to divine thought, the return to divine power. When we repent, we no longer drift with a human mind. We stop living in the dream world of pain, disease, uncertainty, false ambition, and a transient life. We stop living in the illusions of victory. We stop believing that finite things can yield real fulfillment. We ascend to higher consciousness, outside the dream, outside the mirage of dying forms. We ascend to divine contact by rising from mortal thought of good and evil, joy and suffering, war and peace, to the pure thought of the one source. We see the world through God's eyes, through God's thought. And we discover, above personal sense, another body, another life, another world, never to be terminated by the will of man or physical conditions.